May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts bring glory to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Everyone loves a good dinner party. And if it all goes well, the end of the evening, you'll turn to someone you love and say, "Wow, I'm so glad we did that." You know, a chance to catch up with people that we care about, good food, good wine, maybe. A real chance to connect with people that are significant in your lives. I don't know, but our culture has become so busy that no matter how Joyce and I try to connect with people, it can take 3 or 4 months at a time before we get a chance to have those kinds of events. And we just really enjoy that opportunity to spend time, but that doesn't mean that I don't pray before you arrive. And I pray because I know that sometimes conversations are very difficult. You don't plan on them, but they can be painful. There's always somebody at the table that asks the question that everybody wants to ask but doesn't. There's always somebody at the table that makes some kind of flippant comment that they have no idea that will cause discomfort, and it almost takes the whole night out of the knees. There's always some kind of reference to the hard work and effort that goes into the dinner that can be misunderstood as really not wanting you there, when the truth is the work is about wanting you there. And in the next several weeks, many of you are going to host a series of events in your homes or attend them with other people. And I want to talk to you a little bit today about how to carry the Holy Spirit with you in those times. And the best way to do that is to address the gospel today. There are some characters in the gospel. You need to know that as Mary and Martha and Lazarus are hosting the event, there's a pretty good chance that Lazarus initiated the invitation, that it is actually a celebration for the resurrection of Lazarus. You know, if you want a reason for a party, raised from the dead is a good one. And it's a great celebration, and yet there is an intuition. Now let me acknowledge this morning. There are some people in this room who have an extraordinary gift, and it is the gift of intuition. And you know stuff. You know stuff about your kids before it happens. You know stuff about your partners, about your parents, about your grandparents, about your neighbors. You just know stuff. You're aware of things. Can you accept that much, that there's a few of you? Okay, so some of you are looking away, so I know it's you. This is not a critique. Matter of fact, this is an invitation to prayer. If you have an intuition about what's going on around you, use that gift to lead you to prayer about that individual. If you're going to deal with a believer in Jesus, deal with Jesus about the believer first. Did you catch that? Start in prayer. Start in prayer. I don't care what kind of party you're on your way to. Start in prayer for the people at the party, because if you want to be able to bless them with what you say and do in the encounter, you want that to come from the Holy Spirit. I recently shared in a very private context that I'm not really fond of coffee hour. And it's not about you, it's about me. I have an amazing gift, a profoundly talented gift, to say the stupidest things on earth during coffee hour. I have no idea where it comes from. I mean, I've been to school. I was raised, you know, with other human beings. But for whatever reason, coffee hour seems to be one of those times and places that I can just say the silliest things on earth. And so I have to work at it. You know, what does that mean? It means I pray my way in. And if I can't be fully present, I don't show up. Some of you have noticed. This morning I grabbed my bagel and coffee and I left. I was preparing for the next service. Those who have extraordinary intuition, like Mary had in the gospel, she knew something was up. Now, some of us use that intuition to quietly pray, but others have another gift, and some of you have it. To be able to walk up to somebody and to bless them. It can be as simple as telling someone else you're praying for them. It can be as simple as saying to them, God bless you today. God bless you today. I don't know a lot of people that would be profoundly offended by that. Some may wonder what you know. But know this, that very few will be offended when you offer them God's blessing. You don't need to ask a lot of questions. Just offer them a blessing. Mary went the next step. She opened a container of oil perfume. It's about this large, thereabouts. Made of clay, you had to crack the lid open. Let me tell you why. It was worth a year's salary. That's how expensive this stuff was. Can you imagine the moment as Mary looked into Jesus' eyes and she had an intuition? You're leaving. I know you're leaving. You've been there. Many of you have held the hand of somebody at a hospital bed and you knew they were leaving. In palliative care, you have been a support and an encouragement and a symbol of Christ's love, and on Christ's behalf, you've held a hand. You've whispered the words, I love you. And you've said goodbye. Mary took that next step. She wanted Jesus to understand the depth of her intuition and the depth of her love and grace in his life. And she took that perfume, a year's salary, and poured it on his feet. And then she did something that by our culture and our standards is freaky. But understand, we're not now, we're talking about then. And in the intimacy of her love and respect for him, she dried his feet with her hair. Can you hear it? Goodbye, Jesus. Goodbye. Mary wasn't the only one in the room that day. Lazarus was there. They're celebrating his resurrection. Oh my goodness, I mean, what do you do after that? What is the curtain call after you've been raised from the dead? What do you say to people around? Hey, it's good to be alive. Where do you go from there? It's like me at coffee hour. But he's watching the interaction between Mary and Jesus. And he knows that the intimacy of the relationship between him and Jesus was that Jesus, in the midst of his sobbing, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. In the midst of his sobbing, he gave Lazarus new life to glorify God. And now Lazarus is standing there saying, I don't even know what's coming next. Mary, being the brother of Lazarus, did you know that? Can you imagine the connection between brother and sister? I don't know, with our kids it wasn't always clear. I'll tell you this though. Two of our kids, one of the boys and Mariah, if they're fighting, stay out of the way. You could get hurt. But if you go to one of them to pick on each other, you're a dead man. There's a connection. And Lazarus is trying to figure all this out. Martha's in the corner. She's cleaning up. She's getting ready for the dinner. She's preparing. And she's doing what you and I, most of us, do in this room. Don't get me involved in what's going on in the living room. Just let me do my thing. I'm going to make sure there's dinner on the table. I'm going to make sure that everything flows. I'm going to listen for Jesus' voice. You can hear Martha. But there's another person in the room, and it's Judas. Man, does he get a bad rap. Judas betrayed Jesus. Here's the problem with that, folks. He wasn't the only one. Peter betrayed Jesus 3 times. I don't know him, I don't know him, I don't know him. When I traveled in Nicaragua, there was a potential risk, which is why we were surrounded in bodyguards. And somebody said, it was Archbishop Percy O'Driscoll, "Stephen, I can't get you out of there." Matter of fact, I think he smiled and his eyes sparkled and he said, "Do you really think this trip's smart?" What he didn't understand is I took that as a dare. But when I got there and I realized there was a real health risk, there's something that happens to you. You hope that if there's a health risk, they shoot you in the forehead. I do not mind dying for Jesus Christ. I just don't want it to hurt. Do you understand Peter in the garden, in the confrontation? Are you one of his disciples? They're in there beating the living daylights out of Jesus. No, thank you. I don't think I remember him. It wasn't about the denial, it was about the fear of the pain of knowing him. The difference between Peter and Lazarus is Lazarus is saying, "I've been to the death, I know what that is." And the difference between Peter and Judas is Judas couldn't live with the mistake he made. Now let's talk about that for a minute. Peter made a mistake, but somehow he could live with it. Judas made a mistake and he couldn't live with it. You know, in the Anglican Church, we're all very right and proper and dignified, so nobody uses the word suicide. Suddenly at home, suicide is coming to that moment where you just can't do it anymore. That's where Judas was. And I need to say to you that many of us in this room have been there. And somehow, some extraordinary person has showed up in our life and brought Jesus to us, reminded us that we are loved and accepted and valued and precious in the sight of God, no matter where we've been or what we've done, who we were with or what happened. For whatever reason, Judas chose to be alone in the midst of that pain. And we lost one of the disciples of Jesus. The scene today, as we look at the gospel, is of people at different phases in their faith. Mary, a sacrificial gift, an extraordinary, extravagant symbol of love. Lazarus, a gratitude in the midst of uncertainty of how to express it. Martha, serving quietly. And Judas in a crisis. You know where this crisis often happens is the issue of money. You know, what did he say? He said, "Why are we wasting the money on the perfume for Jesus' feet when we could have spent all that money on the poor?" And Jesus tries to address this at the end of the passage, and it goes a little bit like this. These are extraordinary times. The presence, the physical presence of Jesus on earth was coming to an end. These are extraordinary times. These 6 days, Jesus tries to explain. These 2 weeks of moments are extraordinary times. But the poor will be with you always. He didn't say, don't give the money to the poor. He said, this is a glimpse into the kingdom. Let's focus on that for now. In the next couple of weeks, you and I will gather, I hope at least a few times. For the Triduum is an experience. First, it starts with Palm Sunday. You know, we've always tried to make Palm Sunday an extraordinary thing. In our last year in Woodstock, a donkey showed up. And the donkey came down the center aisle of the brand new red plush carpet. And yeah, I heard more gasps about the donkey than I'd heard about Jesus my whole ministry. Something wrong there. And the donkey went back and forth, and then the donkey went out, and somebody said, I hope that's the last time the donkey's here. And we received the message of our move here shortly after that. I still try and tell Joyce that the events had nothing to do with each other. We'll celebrate the arrival of Jesus in Jerusalem. We'll celebrate the gift of Jesus in our lives. And then we'll go through a holy week where we will remember the price that he paid for sin. And understand this. The price he paid for sin isn't because you're bad. It's because you're so good that he wanted to save your soul. Study Anglicanism. It is not that you are so bad. It is that you are so good as a gift to the world that he wanted to save our souls. Be a part of that experience. You know, some people say, well, you know what? I'm just going to pop by Easter, which is great. But it's like arriving at a birthday party after the cake. It's like not being part of the introduction and the celebration. To experience the whole thing is to have the maturity, the spiritual maturity to embrace all of what Christ offers us. Last thought. Whether you recognize Mary in you, whether you recognize Lazarus in you, whether you recognize Judas in you, I'll never forget the story of the guy with a handful of pills in one hand and a scotch in the other, staring into the fireplace. And the doorbell went. And one of his neighbors said, I walk by your house every night. And I've never knocked on the door. And something told me tonight I needed to knock on the door. Are you okay? If you're in the middle of a Lazarus experience of the resurrection, praise God. If you're in the middle of a Mary experience of intuition, trust your intuition, but do not live that journey alone. You are meant to be in a relationship with a trusted friend that will help you with the information and the insights you have. Find some spiritually mature person to walk with you in that. If you're in the midst of the Martha experience where you're just doing your thing to the best of your ability, celebrate that. But if you're in a Lazarus moment, find somebody to talk to. Remember that you're loved beyond imagination. And if you happen to connect with Jesus, where you'll risk anything to proclaim the good news, join the riskiest celebration on earth and be a part of something wonderful for the future. Amen.